This is the Branches Podcast. We try to keep it simple in this family of faith. Love God and love people. Let's not make it harder than Jesus intended. If you'd like to know more about our community of faith, you can visit us at www.branchesoc.com.
Lent is a man-made tradition, and Lent was never meant to be a time to give something up. Knowing that Easter is coming, it's a time of preparation. And so it's a time to be purposeful, to plan. And so Lent was a time where people would remove things from their life that were getting in the way of them turning to God. Or they would add something that would help them in that journey. And then it would be a community of faith doing it together. So it was never meant to be a time to get rid of chocolate chip cookies or read more books. It was a time to turn to God. Because let's face it, we're human. We have a hard time staying intentional. We have a hard time staying on task. And so we drift to the right, to the left, up, down. It's who we are. That's okay. But Lent is a time for us to redirect. It's a built-in time of the year for us to laugh about our poverty, to laugh about our poor planning, about our inability to stay the course. It doesn't surprise the Lord. I mean, isn't that why he came? Because we're going to blow it. And he came to set things right. Somebody sent me a text this week and said, "Am I a sinner or am I a saint?" And I said, "You're both. You're a sinner because you missed the mark, just like me, just like everyone. We can't seem to do what we know we should do." I said, "But you're a saint because the Lord makes us one. When we turn to him, we take on the purity of Jesus because Jesus takes upon our failings to set things right. Because when we fail, we let it get us down. We let it break us. But that's not the purpose of poverty." Now, when I keep throwing around poverty and being poor, I'm not talking about finances. Although that plays into it a little bit, but we're talking about a poverty of the spirit. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, "Blessed," which means good for you who are poor in spirit. What? Well, all of those blessedness, the beatitudes that follow after that, are examples of our inability to be in control, of our lack of power. And so as we embrace that, we're set free. "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it shouldn't be a shocker. And this time of Lent is a reminder to us of our humanness, which is naturally a state of not being in control, which is why we turn to God. We're going through the book of James because James is trying to take care of this early church. And James, as the leader, is trying to share words and urge. And it's a letter, it's a book, it's something he wrote not just for one church, but for all the believers that he could get it out to. And in the beginning, here in the 9th verse of the first chapter, he says, "Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them." The truth is, most of you who are listening to this are from the United States, and so you're rich. And since our church is based in Orange County, I would assume that most people who are viewing this are from our area. And so you're even more wealthy. But you can be wealthy and not blessed, right? But being wealthy, having nothing is not the goal. The goal is to be blessed. And so you can, as James says here, you can be rich, but boast that God has humbled you. So you can be rich and still humble. You can be rich and still poor. One of my favorite figures in history is Saint Francis of Assisi. And Saint Francis came from a very wealthy family. In fact, his father was one of the first to get into the real estate in their area. So he bought up all kinds of land, and the Crusades, there were four of them, and he participated in one of them, and he's getting out of jail because the opposition considered him a criminal for obvious reasons. And so as he's leaving prison, as he's leaving this war, he's disillusioned with his life. He's very wealthy and he's a believer, but he's not poor in spirit. Now, you know St. Francis of Assisi in some degree. He's the he's kind of the Snow White of early priests. He's the one that is said of that the animals came to him. Oh, whether that's true or not, it's not the point. He was just a gentle, humble soul, because what he did was he took all of his wealth and he renounced it. And he intended to be not just poor in spirit, but also poor in means, to live simply so that he could turn to God, because he knew that God was calling him closer. And so he gives all of this up. And in fact, he even, the others that would follow what he was doing, they would have a rope around their robe, because at this time, that's also where you would put your wallet. You would have a belt, a wallet belt, and that's where you kept your money. And instead of having one with money, it was a plain rope to symbolize a choice to not depend on money, to not depend on wealth, but instead a rigid determination to live only by what God provides. The intention of me sharing this is not for you to be stuck in between that, but if God calls you, you better do it. But the purpose of me sharing this is that St. Francis understood it. He understood what it was to be of means and what it was to be poor. And he chose to be physically poor so that he would be blessed. He felt that Jesus was calling him specifically to be poor. And by being poor, he would be able to recognize that he's also poor in spirit, or humble, or downcast, or powerless. That's what James means here. Believers who know the Lord and they're close to him, by just proximity, you realize, gosh, I'm much different than God. I'm not in control. And because of that, when you have circumstances that remind you of that poverty, you turn to him. That's the goal of Lent. That's what James is trying to communicate here. That's the life that St. Francis was trying to live. That's what Jesus meant when he said, blessed, filled are the poor in spirit. Isn't that just great news? It's great news that you don't have to be in control. Let it all go. You can't really hold on to it anyways. Have you ever tried to really be in control with your health, fractured relationships, unemployment? There's lots of times when you're not in control. And so what are we to do? Turn to God. And I love what Scripture says. Turn to God and be saved. May God bless you.